listening to the F.C. Tucker Bloomington Realtors House to Home Show on WGCL, proudly sponsored by Menards on Liberty Drive in Bloomington. And now, your hosts, Nancy Baldwin and Brian Thompson.
Hello, and welcome back to House to Home. I'm Nancy Baldwin, and my co-host is Brian Thompson. And our guest today is David Lance with Shelterwood Builders. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We were talking
about...
We were talking before the break about how you kind of find or have people tell you about lots or houses that are for sale that might need a little TLC. Updating in particular, I think. I think that's probably a huge one. You mentioned kind of the 60s style home. And I think we have a lot of those in some of those neighborhoods that you mentioned, Elm Heights and Park Ridge East. And
Acres.
And they're good homes. They were built well. It's just that, they need a little updating. I loved what you were talking about with the buy level because,
me too.
It's one of those things that I look at. There are thousands of buy levels. I was going to say hundreds,
there are probably thousands.
Tens of thousands of buy levels in Bloomington.
There were a couple of neighborhoods, not maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that even in some new construction, and they were building buy levels. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, really? They're still building them.
My neighborhood still has them.
I know, but yours is still a little bit older than there's still some
years,
new construction going on. And I'm like, oh, man.
Well, that's one thing. That's talking about Becky Wong. That's one thing she says, definitely. People do not like buy levels, and they either live in them, they want to get rid of them, and they don't want to buy them. And so that's, but like I said, if you have the design element, like I said, if you have the ability, and it doesn't take that much to do some 3D rendering to really see some options that are available to see what you can do with the house. Because a lot of times in the past, people get hung up, how much is going to, which is always a big issue, much is going to cost and what's it going to look like? And you do a lot of, go through a lot of rigmarole to get some kind of drawings done, and they're flat, two-dimensional drawings. People still can't visualize what they look like. So the advent of that is really helpful. It's a real useful tool in what I'm trying to do. Like I said, there's a lot of downtown neighborhood that's got some really cool bungalow houses and really craftsman houses. They're really cool, and in one sense, there's pros and cons. People say, well, this housing building for the students downtown is a bad thing. But in one sense, it's freeing up some of these houses so they become single-family homes again. And I'm all about reclaiming the neighborhoods for the neighborhoods, because I think it's actually good that they're more consolidated. They have more social interaction. And it allows the neighborhoods to kind of become neighborhoods again. And that's one of the things in Swain. It's kind of right there on the border of it, know. And we thought about, what to do with that. But since it was such a good possibility for a house, and I think it's good because it is sold out and it's going to kind of restart reclaiming in neighborhoods in town. And nothing against the students.
No.
I love the students when they're gone. No,
yeah, exactly.
Just kidding.
We all do. Well, that's like the Green Acres neighborhood just east of campus.
Right.
That we've seen that kind of a transition where it's becoming more owner-occupied again. And that's kind of a nice thing to see. I mean, it's really close to campus. Of course, it's got a great student market, but still, I've seen more and more younger couples coming in. They want to be close to campus, too. And that's somewhat affordable for a young couple. Talk about affordability, too.
And downtown, too.
Right.
Near the west side. The near west side is another thing. There's a lot of activity going on. So, I think, because of the situation of not having property and not having lots in the development right now, and I don't know really what the cure for that is. I mean, because there's going to be a point, and really soon here, there is. And right now, there's a real shortage of houses. It's definitely a seller's market
now.
And so, I don't know. Because, I'm looking at a piece of property that I have been for the last couple of years, and it's good size, about 70 acres of property. But it's an issue where if I'm to develop instead of 2.5 acres, I have to have sewer. Hooked a sewer to have 2.5, so now I have to have 10 acres.
10 acres,
and that's a lot of property to have a septic on. And so you talk about buying property, make it affordable. You have to get a real deal to make it work.
Well, and most people still don't want a 10-acre lot anyway. They don't want to have to maintain it, even if it's 8 acres of it's wooded. They still don't want that much property.
You're right.
But going back to that whole thing, even people who own existing lots. You bought it under the pretense you could build in a certain area on that lot. That may not be the case now. So that's
good
one
point.
Of the issues that I really have is people, you've got this, people that bought their lot. It's their dream. They're going to build their dream house. They wait. They pay off the lot. And then they go to apply for a building permit, and they don't get it because now it's not the same buildable space as it was before.
And that brings up a good point. Yeah. And I've been going through that a lot. Mm-hmm. I deal with Eric Deckard a lot for Deckard Survey. Mm-hmm. And the variance process is now this ongoing issue that I'm dealing with a lot. I've got two things on the table with him right now. And either it's slope restrictions, or lot size, whatever. But if the due diligence is there and the effort's there, there are a lot of these that can be built on if you were willing to go through the process. A lot of people are intimidated by what to do and how to do it, but there is a process you can go through to make some things happen. So if you do have a lot or you have a situation where you might think something might work but it's not happening now, it's still a possibility. Mm-hmm. And a lot more of it's being put in that because of the lack of properties that are available. And like you said, one of the things, and people love the 2.5 acres, and I really encourage the prairie plantings and having just mowing a certain section. Mm-hmm. Some people do, some people didn't. But a lot of the issue is, I don't want to mow 2.5 acres.
Yeah.
What do I want that for?
Exactly. I want to have a little garden space, place for my kids to play, and that's it.
And actually, the lot I have over at Heritage Woods is kind of a large lot, you know, and as far as, so it's larger than most that are around, so.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think that was the other thing I really liked about the Sherwood or the Prairie Green was that some of them didn't mow. You had these perfectly manicured lawns in there as well as like this prairie, with these big long grasses, and they're it's really kind of cool. I mean, that's
and it's not as easy as it sounds too. And that's one thing.
No,
it takes 3 years to develop prairie, and you have to really be on it. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to kind of get educated to do it because, as some people find out, you just can't let the grass. Then you have alfalfa and you have Johnson grass taking over your whole world, and you know, from an old pasture.
Horse weeds coming up, and it's plus, not exactly what you want it to look like.
Right, plus snakes and that. But when you do
little critters come in there.
When you do establish it, it is because it's really interesting. It's really beautiful to see it cycle through the seasons of different flowers and different things that are inherent to the area. And I think it's good. And I think it's being a good steward too, because I do think. Personally, mowing is one of my least favorite things to do in the world. I don't do it at all anymore if I don't have to. I grew up mowing like a 2-acre lawn with a push mower.
Oh, yeah.
You know all that, right? Can't go anywhere until you mow the lawn.
That's right. That's
and so, and it also, two-cycle is one of the biggest polluters in the world now. Lawns, mowing lawns, boats. So they're trying to anything to help that, I'm all about too.
Right. So it's got a nice aesthetic to it too.
And same thing with neighborhoods. You have these houses that you have these incredible electric bills, $200 or $300, $400 electric bills. And now, if anybody had noticed, and Duke's cost of kilowatts has doubled almost 7 to 13 now. So if people last year have sure freaked out on their electric bills. So anyway, I think anything you can do to help that is huge too. So that's another good because. Believe it or not, climate change is real. It's coming down our pike really quickly. So whatever we can do to help that cause, I think, is vital. I think it's really the number one issue that faces us as a world, period.
Absolutely. Well, we only have a minute or so left, but I want to make sure that you tell people how they can reach you to talk to you about possibly working with them.
Call me. No.
Where do they call me? That's right. No.
Yeah, if you're interested in if you have property something, you can contact me at my website is sheldawoodbuilders.com. Easy, and you can always call me. You know, you give me my phone number, 812-327-6931. And you can also call my realtor, Becky Wan. Becky Wan from RE/MAX, and she works with me a lot. And be more than happy to take a look at what you've got and see if I could help you out and make it a better Bloomington.
Or you could stop by the office, too, out there on 45.
4689 East State Road 45. Yeah. It's Sheldwood Builders in Prairie Green. You can come look at the lovely houses I build out there.
Drive through that neighborhood. It's not very big, but it's awesome.
It's very pretty.
Awesome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Remember that if you miss any part of our show, you can find our podcast at the WGCLradio.com website and the FC Tucker Bloomington Facebook page.